Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here with Rob Brinton. All right, today is a very important anniversary in sports. Today is the anniversary of, quite possibly, the greatest coaching rant ever.
Wait, the Bears are what we thought they were. What we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bull? We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
What really trips me out about this whole thing, and we'll play some other coaching rants here coming up in just a bit. That 2006 Bears team could quite possibly be the most random Super Bowl team of our lifetime. This was in 2006. The Bears went 13-3 with a quarterback who completed 54% of his passes, had 23 touchdowns and 20 interceptions. Rob, Rex Grossman, their starting quarterback, had a quarterback rating of 73.9. It is not like this Bears team went to the Super Bowl in 1991 like it was some distant memory. No, they went to the Super Bowl when you were in high school or college or when some of you were adults. Like, we're talking about, this is a pretty modern Super Bowl that the Bears ended up going to, and the league has changed so drastically over the last 19 years since this last happened. I mean, this team, their leading receiver had 800 yards. They went to the Super Bowl and were pretty clearly the second best team in the National Football League. I'm trying to think, since that Bears team in 2006 that went to the Super Bowl, who is the most random team that we've had make the Super Bowl? Is it that second Giants team? Not that first one. Is it the second Giants team? Is it the Joe Flacco team? Like, we're sitting back there and wondering, hey, how did that Ravens team end up making the Super Bowl? I'm trying to figure it out, as today is the 19-year anniversary. We're 1 year away from the 20-year anniversary of the Dennis Green rant. Who's the most random Super Bowl appearing team since that Bears team in 2006?
Maybe this is a cop-out of an answer, but does Nick Foles' Eagles count? Because Carson Wentz was an MVP candidate. He got hurt late in the season. They went to journeyman Nick Foles. Did you think Nick Foles was going to win two postseason games, then the Super Bowl? Like, I know we look back at that team and like, oh, they were really talented. They were, I believe they were the one seed in the NFC, but they were Doug Peterson coached, who's now out of the NFL. They were Nick Foles quarterbacked, who was a journeyman and also now out of the NFL. And they beat, what, the best modern dynasty we've seen in the Patriots? Like, is the answer Nick Foles Eagles for the last random one we've seen?
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's the answer, but you're right. I mean, that team was the one seed in the NFC, so they had a bye week, and then they just had to win with Nick Foles. You're right. Certainly one of those kind of teams. Like, a lot of people are pointing out on the text line, I think we all know this, C-Dot, that Bears team was carried by the defense and Devin Hester. I'm saying is, in less than 20 years, the Bears are not possible anymore. You can't, that Bears team in 2006, you could not go to the Super Bowl. In fact, this Bears team couldn't make the playoffs in today's National Football League. Number one, you can't play defense the way that they played. I mean, their best two players were linebackers. They were linebackers, middle linebackers at that. Like, you would think if you went to a Super Bowl and your quarterback was Rex Grossman, who had a 78 quarterback rating, you would need to have a guy on defense that had like 24 sacks that year. Like, you would just need one of those truly gifted kind of seasons. I mean, their best defensive player didn't have a sack. It was Brian Urlacher. He had 142 tackles that year, didn't have a sack. Now, he was amazing that season, but in just a short period of time. Like, we have seen the league change in such a way where a team that went 13-3 and was clearly the best team in the NFC that season, they couldn't function in the modern game. You could not do it this way anymore. You couldn't do it the way that the Ravens did in 2000 anymore with just the defense that held teams to 13.8 points per game. Like, the rules have changed so much, and quarterbacks have gotten so much better, and offenses have improved by such leaps and bounds in such a short period of time that you can't do it this way anymore. And that's why, like, I don't know if we're going to have too many of those random teams that pop up where you're going to say, I can't believe that team. Like, in what world do you see the Colts, even if the Colts end up having the best defense in the league, in what world do you see a team that has Daniel Jones as their quarterback in 2025, 2026, leading you to a Super Bowl? Like, even then, you'd have to be like a Jimmy Garoppolo, Brock Purdy type, where they just put you on a team that has Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, Trent Williams, George Kittle. Like, you can be an average quarterback surrounded by incredible offensive talent. I don't know if you can even build a defense good enough that could carry the offense that they had that year. So we are celebrating the 19-year anniversary of Dennis Green.
Wait, the Bears are what we thought they were. What we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bull? We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
I want to play for you guys a couple of my favorite coaching rants because, I mean, who doesn't love a good coaching rant? I think this one is underrated. Everybody talks about Jim Moore and the playoffs. So everybody talks about. That's not the best one. This is the best Jim Moore coaching rant.
We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. The second half, we couldn't stop the run. Every time they got the ball, they went down and got points. We got our totally kicked in the second half.
That's a very underrated one. People don't give that one nearly enough respect. I get why the playoffs is such a big deal because every year it's very relevant. Playoffs, I get why people love that one. The best Jim Moore rant is diddly poo. So I asked you earlier, I said, hey, are you going to tell me what your favorite coaching rant is? And Rob lit up and he said, this is his favorite one.
I turn and look, there's a little kitty cat in our kitchen. So I said, what are you doing in here, little kitty cat? By that time, the cat turns, tries to get back out. That screen won't go that way. Cat starts going, meow, meow, all crazy. And I told our players, we need more dogs. Bo's barking in the back. I have to go shut Bo up. Mel's like, what's going on? I said, there's a cat in the house. Cat in the house? I said, yeah, there's a cat in the house. So I told our players, I tried to let it out the front door. Meow, meow. The cat's still going crazy in there. And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
That's your favorite coaching rant?
I mean, how often do you hear a coach meow in a press conference? Have you ever heard that before?
No, I haven't heard that.
I've covered some press conferences. You've covered some press conferences. I've never heard a press conference where a coach meows. So, yeah, that is my favorite one.
Okay, no, I'm not mad at that. If that one's your favorite one, I mean, everybody's entitled what their favorite coaching rant is. 913-586-7965. Today is the 19-year anniversary of Dennis Green. I'll never forget. I was watching the Dennis Green one live because if you remember – it was Monday Night Football. The Cardinals had a big lead, and then Devin Hester happened. They kicked it to Devin Hester two times. I don't know why they did that. He returned two punts in the game. The Bears had a defensive touchdown, and the Bears just went and won the game. And then you know what they always do. Monday Night Football comes on, and then on SportsCenter, they then go to the coach, the press conference. We then hear from it. The Dennis Green rant happened live on SportsCenter. I think that's also one of the reasons why it's just lasted so long, the game when it happened. And then obviously the Bears, they went on to have a fantastic season. And we'll read some of you guys' favorite coaching rants coming up on the other side. I asked Rob to do an exercise. I asked Rob to write down who he thinks are the top five teams in the National Football League. I did the same. We'll see how similar our lists are. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the show. I want to play these two before we move forward to our power ranking. So I asked Rob to write down his top five teams in the National Football League. I did mine as well. I also gave Rob an honorable mention. And we'll go through and we'll see how close our lists are of who the top teams are currently in the National Football League. So we were celebrating. Today is the 19-year anniversary of the Dennis Green, they are who we thought they were rant. I played my favorite coaching rant. Rob picked his favorite coaching rant, and we asked the text line to offer up some suggestions. I would say that these have been the two most popular suggestions on the text line. This is an oldie, but a goodie.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage. Attacking an amateur athlete for doing everything right. And then you want to write articles about guys that don't do things right and downgrade them, the ones that do make plays. Are you kidding me? Where are we at in society today? Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid.
That was Mike Gundy, his I'm a man, I'm 40 rant that he made back in 2007. Last one we'll play for you. This was a very, very popular one on the text line. Mike Singletary.
Vernon, it was something that I told everybody at the very beginning of the week. I will not tolerate players that think it's about them when it's about the team. And we cannot make decisions that cost the team and then come off the sideline and it's nonchalant. No. You know what? This is how I believe, okay? I'm from the old school. I believe this. I would rather play with 10 people and just get penalized all the way until we got to do something else rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. It is more about them than it is about the team. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it. I want winners. I want people that want to win.
That is Mike Singletary, as he was the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, telling Vernon, you know what? I mean, I'd rather play with 10 than play with 11 when I know that one person, he is not out here trying to pursue the exact same thing that I'm trying to pursue out here. All right, Rob, let's move forward. This is what I would like to do. I wrote down who I think currently, as of right now, I think these are the five best teams in the National Football League. I ask you to do the exact same thing. So we're going to go through our top five. We're also going to have our honorable mention. You are allowed to nominate one team that is on the outside of this. Hit the music, Rob. On my honorable mention, on the outside looking in, I have the Buffalo Bills. This is why I have the Buffalo Bills. If they had lost one of the games to the bad teams and then beat one of the decent teams, I would still have a very high opinion of the Buffalo Bills and could keep them on this list. But you can't only beat up on the rum-dums of the National Football League. And then when you play actual decent teams, I mean, it's not like they're losing to on the road against Kansas City, on the road against Philadelphia. That would be a little bit understandable. They lost at home to New England, who to me feels like a very average team. And then they went on the road to Atlanta and also, again, lost to a very random team. I just don't know how much I can trust this Buffalo Bills team. I gotta see them beat somebody, anybody with a pulse. Sure, they beat on the Ravens earlier in the season. Maybe you're giving them credit for that, but now we know how the season has kind of turned out. I mean, three straight weeks, they beat up on the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Saints. The Jets, their coach might only get one season. I think Miami's about to fire their coach. I think the Saints are quite possibly the worst team in the NFC. When you played anybody that could potentially fight back, you lost. I just don't think Buffalo is going to win 11 or 12 games this season. But right now, I got to pick teams that got better resumes and have done more so far in 2025 than you have. I got Buffalo on my honorable mention. I got them on the outside looking in a top five teams right now in the National Football League.
All right, so I want to specify the criteria I used before I start. It is what have you done so far?
I'm ranking them right now based on the information that we have right now in the middle of October.
It is not what I think is coming. It is not any of those things.
At least for me, I can't tell you how to do your power rankings. I'm ranking it right now on if I saw this team play this team, who would I pick to win the game? If they played at a neutral site, who would I pick to win these games? So that's how I try to do my neutral site. Everybody is even. They're going over to London. They're playing these games. What team would I pick?
So I don't adhere to that criteria. I'm saying, what have you done so far in the league through week six? What are the five best and honorable mention teams in the NFL? So honorable mention, I have the Kansas City Chiefs. Ooh. I think the Chiefs will end the season at number one or number two. I think the pivot we've seen in the offense from after the first 3 weeks is enormous. I think that pivot is going to get bigger once they add Rashee Rice. I think, as I told you earlier in the show, that defensive effort against the Lions is being slept on as an idea, as a concept, as how they played. I think that defense may have turned the corner. I think their win against the Lions is as impressive as any win in the NFL this season. But you are a 3-3 team with a bad loss to the Jags, because I think the Jags are about to disappear from our lives because they lost at home to the Seahawks. And I think you had another bad loss at home to the Eagles. I think the Eagles are waffling and are on shaky ground. They're looking a lot more like the 2023 Eagles. So it is based on what you have done by October 16th at 4:23. So I have the Chiefs as my honorable mention, just on the outside looking in.
For number five, I have the Philadelphia Eagles. I have the Eagles as the fifth best team in the league right now. Now, I admit some of this is based off their history and based on what I've seen them do in the past, but we're still talking about a 4-2 football team that I believe is going to turn things around at some point. I know it's been a little bit shaky, but I think that we are starting to overreact a little bit too much when it comes to certain teams when you have certain swoons. They lost to a Broncos team that I think is pretty good. They also went on the road and they lost on Thursday Night Football. Now, let's see what they look like. They come back from a bye week and they go on the road and they play the Minnesota Vikings. That is a good team. But, I mean, I saw this Eagles team. I saw them beat four good teams to kick off the season. They beat Dallas. I think Dallas is a respectable team. They went on the road and they beat Kansas City. They beat the Rams at home and everybody loves Tampa Bay. They went on the road and they beat Tampa Bay. You get credit for that. I got Philly as the fifth best team in the league right now. But I will admit, they feel kind of shaky right now. I'm not sure how much I can trust them. I am a little bit worried about Saquon Barkley. Barkley hasn't ran for 100 yards in a game so far this season. He was maybe the best player in the league last year. I'm going to go with five for Philly.
Full disclosure, I don't have Philly in my top five.
Wow, okay.
For all the reasons you just said, and I feel like they kind of stole a win against the Rams. Like, if I know if we change the outcome, blah, 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 but if the Rams just get that kick off, the Eagles are what, 3-3? Like, we feel very different about the Eagles. And A.J. Brown and Nick Sirianni are gearing up for a fight. At number five, I have the Bills. Everything you said about the Bills, for why they're your honorable mention, I feel the same way, but I have them at five ahead of the Chiefs in honorable mention because they are 4-2. And winning has to matter. The Chiefs lost the game they shouldn't have lost. The Bills have lost games they shouldn't have lost, but they've won more than the Chiefs. If it is January and those two teams are playing in Kansas City, I'm easily taking the Chiefs. But the criteria I'm using is it's week six. We're the five best teams in the league. I think right now the Bills come in at number five.
I got number four. I got the Indianapolis Colts. I think the Colts right now are a top five team in the National Football League. I mean, I have to factor in what you've done so far this season. Like, why are we playing these games if I'm not going to factor in how you've played so far this season?
I think four is low.
You have the Colts higher than that.
I have the Colts just peek behind the covers. I have the Colts at two.
Interesting. No, I have the Colts at four.
You're 5-1. You're the best team in the AFC record-wise right now. You have the coach of the year. You might have the comeback player of the year. Like, Lou Anarumo has that defense ball in. Like, I have the Colts at 2, so I'm curious why you have them at 4.
Yeah, I think some of it is just this. I'm not a full believer of them yet. And tomorrow, if you put the Colts on a neutral side against the teams that I have ahead of them, I would pick these other teams ahead of the Indianapolis Colts. So that really matters to me when it comes to all of this. I'm looking at the Colts, and we could play this game, I think, with a couple of different teams. But, man, I mean, the game that they had against the Broncos, I mean, the one decent team that they've played so far this season, they shouldn't have won that game. They really shouldn't have beat the Broncos earlier this season. I mean, their wins are Miami, Denver, Tennessee, Las Vegas, and Arizona without Kyler Murray. So it's not like I've seen this Colts team really beat up on some of the big dogs. Now, this is the very important week for them. They go on the road and play the Chargers. The Chargers are a good team. So if the Colts go on the road and take care of business against the Los Angeles Chargers, then yeah, I'm happy to sing a different tune next week if we end up doing this exercise. But as of right now, yeah, I'm still going to have very cautious optimism about the Indianapolis Colts, and that's why I got them at 4.
I got a surprise at 4. And you know what? James Palmer mentioned this team, and I'm elated he mentioned this team because they're coming in at 4 for me. The Seattle Seahawks. Seattle is quietly...
I didn't even consider putting Seattle on my list.
Seattle is quietly one of the best teams.
I didn't even consider putting them on my list.
I'm telling you right now, Seattle has 2 losses. They have the loss at home, the Niners, and the Bucks, who I will tell you I have the Bucks very high on this list.
I think Seattle's the third best team in their own division.
No chance. They're the third best team in the NFC right now. Period. They are fantastic. Sam Darnold's playing at a really high level, and you always tell me about the schedule game. The win on the road in Pittsburgh is as quality of a win as we've seen this season.
And they also
the
went on the road and beat Jacksonville,
those
too.
Those are two... By the way, Jacksonville at noon. That's a long flight. They go over there, and they dominated Jacksonville.
That's fair.
So Seattle comes in at 4. Do I think they win the Super Bowl? No. But again, my criteria was week 6. Seattle comes in at 4.
I got the Detroit Lions as 3 on this list. I still think the Lions are a very, very good football team. And going on the road and getting handled by Kansas City to me is not a damning thing to me. And that shouldn't remove you from being a part of this conversation. I mean, their losses this year are on the road against Green Bay and on the road against Kansas City. You certainly can live with either one of those losses. I still think the Lions can score with any team in the National Football League. I trust their defense to get healthy. I still think the Lions are obviously a Super Bowl contending team. I got the Lions right now as 3 on my power ranking.
We finally have one of the same. I have the Lions at 3.
Okay.
Everything you've said, I agree with the Lions. I'm actually fat. And you know, I've already told you, I have the Colts at 2. So I'm very curious if you have 2. And if you have the team I think you have at 2, then we are going to have a very serious conversation about the schedule game. But go ahead. Tell me who your 2 team is.
I got the Chiefs at 2.
I thought you were going to pick the Packers.
I got the Chiefs at 2. This is why I got the Chiefs at 2. I think a lot of it is somewhat betting on the future. And I can acknowledge that I think the Chiefs are sort of grandfathered in. You know what the Chiefs are like? The Chiefs are like how we're slow to move off of a ranked team when it comes to college football. Like, man, I'm going to give Miami the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to give Ohio State the benefit of the doubt. This is why I have the Chiefs so high on my power ranking. I am seeing an offense that is starting to figure things out with a top 10 defense figuring things out. And I am going to weigh the games differently for Kansas City at the beginning of the season when they didn't have Xavier Worthy, where at least in my opinion, if the Chiefs would have had Worthy for one of the 2 games, I think they win one of those games. Like, if you're telling me Xavier Worthy is healthy this entire year, I don't think they lose to both the Chargers and the Eagles. I think they win one of those 2 games. So I think that drastically changed the early portion of the season for Kansas City. I'm not going to knock them too hard. I still think they're the best team in the AFC. I'm not picking any of these other teams right now. Buffalo hasn't shown me they're better than Kansas City. They haven't beaten anybody so far this year. Tomorrow, if the Chiefs played the Colts, I would pick the Chiefs to win that game. So I got to be true to at least who I would pick in these conversations. I got Kansas City right now as the second best team in the league, which I'm willing to acknowledge that I am a little bit inconsistent in all of this. And I do acknowledge that right now, the team that I think is possibly the best in the AFC also is currently seated 8th in the AFC race and might not be the best team in their own division. So some of it is I'm betting at what I'm seeing with the Chiefs over these last 3 weeks and their offense and their defense possibly coming together and them ramping up and getting ready for that second portion of the season when they start to play all of these teams that are in the mix.
I agree with you that in probably November, maybe Halloween, November, December, January, the Chiefs will ascend to 1 on my list. If the season goes how I predict the season will go, the Chiefs will be number one. I think you're doing a lot of look ahead on your list, though.
I can live with that.
More than what has happened, because you just told me one of the biggest reasons you're number two is if Xavier Worthy wasn't hurt, it'd be different. But he did get hurt.
He did get hurt.
They played the game. They didn't just stop. Just wave their arms and say, listen, hey, here's the deal. Xavier Worthy's hurt, so we're stopping the game. Everyone, you know, plan accordingly. The game kept going, and they lost games without him. Now, you're right. They are a different team when he's on the field. But those games that were played where he wasn't on the field, it seems like a little bit unfair that the criteria you hold the Chiefs to is, hey, it would have been different if they were healthy. Why not play that game with all the teams? The Lions didn't have anyone in their secondary last week, Carrington. Do you think they would have won if they had their starting corners? Are you going to bump them up because we just don't know? It feels like your criteria is a little choosy on when it gets
no,
used.
No, that's fair.
Doesn't.
I can live
so
with that.
That's why I had the Chiefs an honorable mention. I also think we're going to have the same team number one because team number one's obvious.
I think I would love to hear the answer right now. If you are making a power ranking and you don't have Tampa Bay at one, I would love to hear the why you don't have Tampa Bay at one, because I would say they check off every criteria so far this season. They went on the road and beat Atlanta. They went on the road and beat Seattle. They just beat San Francisco. They're 5-1 right now. They might have the MVP of the NFL currently on their team in Baker Mayfield. And even in the face of all the injuries that they have, they just hung 30. They hung 30 on San Francisco and 38 on Seattle. I don't know how you can make a power ranking right now and not have Tampa Bay as the number one team in the league. The other ones we can certainly debate. And if you want to put a different team at two than I put, sure, fine. I don't know how you can make a power ranking right now and not put Tampa Bay at number one.
I mean, one was the easiest pick we've ever made. Tampa Bay. It's a layup line. It's undefended. Take your points. Like, James Palmer made this point earlier in the show, and it's a great one. They might be one of the teams in the NFL with the most injury problems in the league, and they just keep checking the box of wins. Like, they don't have Mike Evans. They've lost Chris Godwin for most of the season. Their offensive line is basically me and you. Like, they've had holes there all season long. Like, they have taken on a lot of water, and they're 5-1, including, like you said, some of the most impressive wins we've seen. I think that win at Seattle is enormous for how good Tampa Bay is. Also a beautiful jersey game that day. But yeah, Tampa Bay is number one with a bullet. You can argue about two through nine is kind of interchangeable, but one has to be the Bucks. It just has to be.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't really know if you could argue it any different when it comes to this. Now, Rob, I'm going to beat you to this. Can we keep this to, I'll give you 2.5 minutes. I don't know why you put this in the system on your own accord. I did not ask for this. I didn't tell you to do this. And you have just taken it upon yourself to play a little ISO ball. Here's Bill Self on Darren Peterson.
The maturity of his game. You know, he's an 18-year-old that plays like a 25-year-old. I mean, not too many people, when they play, when you start out doing something in your early in your career doing something, everything seems to be in fast forward. I mean, I would think it's that way in golf. I would think it's that way in baseball, whatever. It just, things are in fast forward. For sure, a football quarterback, you know, everything is happening too fast. With him, everything's in slow motion. And to me, that's a big compliment that he sees the game where it's not sped up.
I remember when the movie Get Out was coming out. And, you know, there's always like hype and buzz for a movie and the way that people talk about movies. And people were talking about Get Out like it was the greatest movie that they had ever seen. And you remember Rotten Tomatoes at one point had Get Out as like their highest rated movie ever. Like, there was a lot of buzz for the movie. And I remember when I went to go see in the movie theater and I was thinking to myself, I mean, it's all right. I mean, I didn't hate the movie, but it's not one of the best movies I've ever seen. In fact, I've only seen it the one time. I don't really have much of a desire to go back and watch it. Like, it didn't really wow me and blow me away. Man, I kind of feel like that's what's happening with Darren Peterson here. I'm saying this as somebody who's seen the kid play in real life before. Man, the way we're talking about this, this is one of the most hyped basketball recruits we've ever had in this country, like in this region, ever. I can't wait to see How long are we giving them until we can start calling things? Because they play real games in the beginning of the season. They play North Carolina in the first 10 games of the season. They play Duke in the first 10 games of the season. They play Connecticut in the first 10 games of the season. How long are we giving this thing with Darren Peterson before we can start to say, I don't know about this. I just want to know.
What's the timeline? But we talk about it, so we say, oh, we know. He's checking the boxes. Because it works both ways. If you want to tell me, hey, pick a date where we can say, I don't know. You tell me. Pick a date where I can say, see, I told you so. He's a star. If you want to pick the game
no,
at Chapel
I mean, I'm
Hill,
asking you. I mean,
he's playing Kyan Evans, local kid at Chapel Hill.
Yeah, they do.
Game two. If he goes out there and balls out, are we going to say, hey, we need more time before we know? Or are we going to say, oh, look, he's cooking? Like, you tell me your timeline, and I'll just agree to it. Because people talk about him and Lawrence both on and off the record. Like they are discovering fire for the first time. He is going to be tremendous. So you tell me the date we can say he has lived up to the hype. I just want that date and I want to put it on our calendar.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine. I think I might've told this story before. I ran into Greg Gurley and I was like, hey, what's the latest on Darren Peterson? And Greg Gurley told me he's the best freshman that they've ever had. That's what Greg Gurley told me when we had this conversation. He told me he's the best freshman they ever had. Are we willing to give them until the Missouri game? That's like their ninth game of the season. Because I'm looking at it right now. Kansas plays North Carolina in less than a month. Kansas plays Duke in exactly a month from now. They play Notre Dame. They play Syracuse. They play UConn. Like, they play some real teams and real games. And then they play Missouri, who has, I would say, a borderline NBA guard. And it's like, okay, all right. In those first eight real games that they have, if he's what you guys are telling me that he is, I need to see it in the first eight games of the season. So I'm just asking.
We can make the Missouri game. After the Missouri, we can circle back to this conversation. Not the last time we're talking about Darren Peterson on the show. We can circle back to the either it's I don't know or he's checked the boxes. When we leave the T-Mobile Center, me and you are both going down there for that game. When we leave the T-Mobile Center at 2:30-ish on a Sunday afternoon, we can have a conversation on the show the next day about if Darren Peterson has lived up to the hype. Because you're right. He will have played, what, four top 25 schools, I think? Like, I think Missouri could be a top 25 school by that time. Like, we'll know by the time the Chiefs and Texans take the field that night, I guess. Maybe the Chiefs and Texans gets flexed, but it doesn't matter. By the time the Chiefs and Texans take the field that night, we will know about Darren Peterson.
Someone on the text line makes a fair point. CDOT, you said the same thing last year about Cooper Flagg early in the season and he not being that guy. Now, I will at least point this out. Shoot me a little bit of bail here. The problems that I saw with Cooper Flagg when I gave that opinion, we saw in almost every close game that they had as the season progressed. You remember, Cooper Flagg had a problem handling the basketball with less than 30 seconds left in these games. He had a big problem getting his shot off in these games. So, I mean, I don't feel like I was super far off in the Cooper Flagg. Now, he ended up being a phenomenal college player, no question about it. I mean, I don't really see 6'10 unicorn-like ability from Darren Peterson. But, I mean, Bill Self, who certainly knows a whole lot, Bill Self is saying that he plays like he's 25 years old, and this is the most developed freshman that they have ever had. If we all know what a one-and-done, we all know what a special one-and-done supposed to look like. We know. Don't act like we haven't seen it before. We've seen transcendent one-and-dones.
I'm just saying.
You know what it looked like. And that kid, he ain't playing 2 years of college basketball.
No.
He's playing 35 games of college basketball.
I will say this, and to the text line's point, if right now Darren Peterson had Cooper Flagg screw at Duke, absolutely checks the box looking for the hype. Cooper Flagg won Naismith Player of the Year. He was number one recruit in the country. He was 17. Yeah, he had a flaw in his game, and it cost him in the Final Four, but he was in the Final Four and won Player of the Year. If Darren Peterson is doing that next year at Kansas, then I can't wait for the moving goalpost. People be like, oh, see, they didn't win a title. It's a bust. No,
I'm not going to say that.
But there will be people
who
do.
I'll be on your side if that's the case.
If he's Cooper Flagg, there's a party in Lawrence.
Let me ask you this. Let's say that he turns out to be Andrew Wiggins in college. Is that good or bad? Because I'm guessing that you were going to say that it's bad. And I'm looking at what Andrew Wiggins did in college. Andrew Wiggins averaged 15-6 and shot 45% from the field. I'm guessing you're going to tell me that if he turns out to be Andrew Wiggins, that's not good enough.
I would, based on the hype hanging out of Lawrence, I think he needs to be more than Andrew Wiggins. But if Andrew Wiggins is the baseline, then yeah, I would accept that as a basement for Darren Peterson.
That's the basement.
That's the basement.
What's the ceiling? John Wall?
That's probably a fair comparison. John Wall.
Okay. All right. Have you ever been this excited about a Kansas basketball recruit?
It's been a long time since I've been this excited about it.
Long time. Since when? Jock Vaughn? When are we going? Wilt? When are we going back?
For a one-and-done kit, it's probably been since Wiggins.
Okay, all right.
I didn't have the excitement for Oubre. A lot of people like Oubre.
The floor is Wiggins, and the ceiling is John Wall.
Mm-hmm. Is Zion higher than John Wall?
You think he could be Zion Williamson in college?
I'm trying to find the ceiling.
Do you think he'll be better than Trae Young was at Oklahoma?
Trae Young's a really good answer.
Turned out to be a phenomenal pro.
Trae Young's really good. Their games are so different, though. Trae Young's probably the ceiling, yeah.
Okay. All right. He could be John Wall, what we heard from our resident Kansas basketball expert, Rob Britton. We'll get back to the Chiefs coming up on the side. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Rob has brought this to my attention. I actually did not see this. This is from Sam McDowell, that the mayor of North Kansas City confirms that they have been having ongoing conversations with the Kansas City Royals about a stadium. This is his full statement. The city of North Kansas City continues to have conversations with the Royals. These discussions are substantial and ultimately involve collaboration among the state of Missouri, Clay County, and the city in any final framework. A portion of these discussions will need to be kept confidential for a limited period of time. As mayor, I remain committed to transparency throughout this process and want to share the priorities I've consistently communicated on our behalf, protecting our city's long-term financial health, safeguarding our neighborhoods. Underneath it, it says, we are committed to ensuring game day operations, including traffic and parking, don't spill into residential neighborhoods north of Armour. Leveraging investment for community infrastructure then goes on that the Royals have to provide certain things, water, sewer, infrastructure, like North Kansas City just is a smaller place. It also then goes on to say that engaging our community and region, they want to have good communication, all of those things. If you want to read the statement, you can read it in its entirety. I don't want to spend the next 5 minutes reading to you every single word of this. I mean, I think it's safe to say this, Rob. Tell me if you think I'm off. It sounds to me like they might not admit it, but we are down to three locations. It sounds to me like the Royals baseball stadium will either be at the Clay County site that they have been proposing from day one, 119th and all, and Washington Square Park. I cannot see another place. There is not another place over the last 18 months that has drawn any level of buzz, that has had any level of movement outside of them. I don't care what map they've shown you, and they've looked at 25 different places. It's going to go in one of these three places. North Kansas City, downtown, and 119th and all. That's what it sounds like to me. A couple of things. What's stopping them from being downtown, you think? Because at least if you believe the mayor of Kansas City, I know a lot of you don't believe the mayor of Kansas City, but the mayor of Kansas City has said numerous times on this show, we don't need approval from anybody else. We have the space. We want you here. We can divert some funds and we can make this thing happen. It doesn't sound like that's what the Royals want to do, or they don't think that's a viable plan, because that plan seems like it's been out there for a year now at this point, and the Royals have never really seemed like that's a plan that they want to commit to. Now, I don't want to just ride the wave of this thing, and now it seems like North Kansas City, now it seems like 119th and all, but the Clay County option has become more and more viable, I would say, over the last 6 months. For a while there, it felt like they were going to 119th and all. That's where the wind was kind of blowing. I would say that conversation feels like it's died in a little bit of capacity. It just hasn't really come up. Since those 2 days we got that story about them buying the land out there, that's kind of been it. It hasn't really come up again, really, in any capacity. So it sounds like that's the three. North Kansas City, 119th and all, and downtown. I have absolutely no clue where they're going to go, but that feels like those are the finalists.
I feel like those are the finalists, and you're right. I don't know what's stopping them from going downtown right now. Now, maybe there's a there's a tax or there's something something I just don't know about. But you're right. The mayor has come on this show multiple times and talked about how the ability to get the Royals into Washington Square Park is just, it's right there. Take it if you want it. John Sherman continues to talk about the want for downtown baseball. No disrespect to Overland Park. I live in Overland Park. No disrespect to North KC. Neither of those are downtown baseball. That's what the Battery in Atlanta is. It's suburban baseball, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with suburban baseball, but it does seem like the last two news stories with the Royals that we've gotten were 119th and Null and now North KC. Now, maybe we're overreacting to this story, but the mayor of North KC is saying they're having substantial conversations with the Royals about moving there. Like, maybe that's semantics, but I don't know what substantial is, but it seems like it's those two places have now been the most hotly discussed recently with the Kansas City Royals.
I know this is going to sound biased because I live in Missouri and I don't really live super far from where this proposed location is. That 119th and all idea just doesn't fire me up. It fires you up. Like, if they built a stadium across the street from Town Center, that fires you up for where the stadium's going to be.
It does not fire me up.
And I think you and I have both talked to people over there. No one who lives or works in that region really sounds super excited about that's where the baseball stadium could potentially be. Like, no one sounds thrilled about that's where they're going to put it.
To be fair, not to apologize for interrupting.
No, you're good.
Outside of Washington Square Park, can you name the location in town where the Royals have suggested, hey, we want to go there, and everyone's just fired up? Like, even North KC, I'm sure right now on the text line, I don't have it up, I'm sure the text will be like, well, the parking is terrible, the highway access is bad. Like, name the place the Royals have suggested that just went gangbusters with happiness from everyone.
Yeah, because I've said this from the very beginning. If the Royals don't plan on moving downtown, they are just simply moving the problem. Like, the problem with the Royals is people don't go to baseball games with the Royals from Monday to Thursday. They don't go. They go on the weekend, sure, but people don't go to Royals games Monday through Thursday. So if they're not going to put the team in a downtown centralized location and they're going to move it to a part of the suburbs, kind of like where the stadium is right now, you're just going to have the exact same problem that you currently have now. People will go because it's new in a lot of ways, but I still think those problems are going to exist. So I'm with you. I don't think that people are really fired up about any of these other new ideas. A, I don't think people think that the Royals need a new baseball stadium. And I think then the people that live in Kansas will use the same excuse not to go to this brand new stadium that they used to not go to the one that's where it currently is right now. Oh, it's a Tuesday. Why would I drive over there? I just think that problem is just going to exist as long as they don't move downtown.
I agree. I do feel like, and I know John Sherman has referenced the Battery in Atlanta a lot, and I know North KC isn't a suburb like the way Overland Park is, but it's not like a booming metropolis the same way downtown is. I don't know that the idea of the Battery works in Kansas City. And maybe I'm just reacting to the text line, and each time we get a little nugget of news on this thing, it seems like the initial reaction is excitement from some people and just hate from others.
I guess that's what I would question, though. Why do you think it wouldn't work when I would say we have a form of the Battery just in different parts of the city that do work? Town Center is the Battery. It just doesn't have the baseball stadium around it. Zona Rosa is the Battery. But it just doesn't have it around it.
I would say this. The Battery has what? Let's say Atlanta brings 20 to 25 plus
Atlanta a night. Also a much bigger place in Kansas City.
That's true,
too,
but like, more people. They're filling that stadium pretty consistently on weeknights.
The Royals ain't filling their stadium.
The Royals ain't filling their stadium. You just told me if the Royals move to Overland Park, the problem's the same. I think if the Royals move to North KC, the problem's the same. Like, it's a cool new area and people will go because it's cool and new, but their version of the Battery will eventually be like, I don't want to go all the way out there. Like, if you live right now in North KC and they move to Overland Park, are you going to Dollar Dog Night on a random Tuesday? Are you saying that's too far away? I think that's the same problem, which is why I don't know that a version of the Battery works in Kansas City.
Yeah, and I hear, like, right here, someone said, CDOT, how are you comparing where they are now to 119th and all? I mean, the 119th and all is just there. I'm just asking then, if you're telling me that the best thing for the Royals to be is in Johnson County, why have they not jumped on? They have land in Johnson County, and Kansas is offering them all the money in the world. Why are you talking to North Kansas City then? Like, I continue to ask the same question. I keep hearing how great Kansas is and why this is the option. Then the option is right there. Why are they not taking it? They bought the land. They own the land. Kansas has told you we will do anything that you want to come over here. Then why are they not just committed to building right there at 119th and all? Where else are you putting the stadium? The Royals are not putting their baseball stadium out by the Legends. They are not doing that. They don't have any interest in putting it out by the Legends. They have put no motion in putting a baseball stadium there. The only place it can go in Kansas is right there. That's the only one. They've offered you everything. You got the land. You got the money. They just put a shovel in the ground and start building there. Why don't the Royals just don't seem excited about any of the options that don't include downtown Kansas City? They were excited about the Crossroads. The city shut them down. And now I feel like they're having to kind of scramble. And I mean, I guess we'll make plan B and plan C work when it comes to where their stadium's going to be. We'll get back to the Chiefs coming up at the top of the hour. We'll talk about their game on Sunday against the Raiders. Keep it right here. So drive.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.